think that's a great example that, you know, the world's idea is get as much as you can, and then you'll be happy. And again, we start to realize, I mean, I think about it this way. You think about, especially men, but not just men, but, you know, they're working to, quote-unquote, support the family, and they got to work, and they're working all these hours, so they got to get, you know, to be able to support their family and take care of it, and so they're never with their family, or very rarely with their family. And, you know, the family, you know, they say, well, I got to provide for my kids, and the kids would respond by going, well, we've got to have you, then all this stuff. You know, where worldly wisdom is saying, get as much stuff for your kids, that'll make them happy. Where, I mean, you know, somebody once said, they've never seen on a cemetery, on a gravestone, I wish I spent more time at work than people. When it's all said and done, people go, you know, I wish I would spend more time with my family. Because they realize, well, you know, hey, it's too late. Okay? And that is a great difference between the worldly wisdom, but I think the biggest thing about the difference is that when we have godly wisdom, it changes our perspective on what's really important in life, whether it's, you know, things or people, whether it's relationships or, you know, those kind of things. And so, I mean, all you have to do is just think about it from this perspective. Whenever some kind of a crisis strikes a family or a person, what happens to them in that particular moment? Have any idea what happens to it? Our perspective changes, you know, as to what's important. You know, and I've told this story before. I think I've told it in here before. The story of a lady on the Titanic on its maiden voyage. But, well, you know what happened to the Titanic, right? It never had a second voyage. Okay, but there's a story that's told, and it's supposed to be a true story about a lady that was on the Titanic on its maiden voyage. And you know, as the ship was, you know, was in this process, which took some time for it to actually sink, and they're trying to get people on lifeboats and everything, and, you know, and of course it's women and children first, and people were given assignments to a particular lifeboat, okay? And so your lifeboat is lifeboat number so-and-so. You need to go, you know, to that station and be ready to board your lifeboat when it's ready to, you know, when boarding starts. And this lady says to the person in charge that I've got to go back to my stateroom. And the guy says, lady, you need to get on the boat. He says, I've got to go back. I've got to get something from there. And he's saying, look, this is your assignment. If you're not on the boat, if you're not there to get on, then you're not going to get another chance. He said, I only need 3 minutes, you know. So she takes off to get back to her stateroom. And she gets there. And of course, she goes, you know, this boat is having things are all over the place. And she gets back to her stateroom. She doesn't bring her meat coat. She doesn't bring her jewelry that she had there, you know, in her jewelry box, and, you know, any of that. So you know what she came back to the lifeboat with? 3 oranges that were there in a fruit bowl, you know, on a stand in her room. 3 oranges. Why go back and get 3 oranges? Well, you know how long you're going to be on that lifeboat before you rescue. The oranges are going to go a whole lot further to save your life and the lives perhaps of other people than diamonds and mink coats and those kinds of things. You see, the perspective changes. She could have cared less about those oranges that were in that bowl before that ship struck the iceberg. But now all of a sudden, they became one of the most important things to her. Our perspective changes. And I think that's an example of what godly wisdom does to us. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, it takes some kind of tragic event, you see, for them to begin focusing and change their perspective on what's really important. And then even more unfortunate for a lot of people that do change their perspective in the midst of a crisis, when the crisis is over, what do? They go right back to what they were thinking before. And so that crisis that they've experienced has been wasted on them. They didn't learn anything really, except for the moment. What? Yeah. Right? But you have a good perspective on those things because of that, and that's what makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely.
And that's godly wisdom. Tammy? Real quickly here, before we run out of time, you know, one of the things that James, as he's talking about wisdom here, he characterizes God as a generous giver. Okay, when he identifies him as the true source of wisdom, in other words, God wants us to have wisdom. Okay, so he just gives it to us. Isn't that cool? You know. He wants us to be wise. He wants us to have His wisdom. So He just gives it to us. And He gives it to us for the asking. If we want it, all we have to do is ask Him for it. And James says He gives it generously to all without finding fault. You know, the Israelites would have known God as the true source of wisdom. Okay, through their writings, through their history, they understood. The writer of Proverbs in 2 and verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding." Proverb 8 is all about wisdom. That's what it is. And what it does is it personifies wisdom as a woman who's calling out and pleading with the simple people, simple-minded people, to heed to her, in order to avoid disaster in life. So the Israelites would have known this kind of concept of God. And of course, which Israelite or, you know, who among them would not have known of Solomon's wisdom and the fact that God gave that wisdom to him, even, you know, among that with other blessings. So it speaks of how generous God really is. And God wants us to have wisdom, so He gives it generously. See? And generosity by God is just part of His nature. We have a giving God. And He gives, as James identifies, He gives wisdom not just to some, but to who? But to all. Okay? God, in other words, does not refuse His wisdom to anyone who asks for it. Okay? Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, let's see what do you owe me? Yeah, no, he just gives it generously. Okay. Okay. Finally, for this morning's part, wisdom sometimes, Chuck, comes with hardship. Or it even comes with the trials of many kinds. And you had mentioned earlier, you know, this sometimes this difficulties and so forth. You know, again, within the context of what James is writing here, that we're going to face trials of many kinds, that sometimes that wisdom comes with that. Somebody has made the statement saying, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it, right? And so we have to be aware that sometimes we may ask for wisdom, and God's willing to give that to us, but the way we're going to get that wisdom is going to come through hardship. Okay? So therefore, you have to be willing to press on and persevere through the trials of many kinds, because that may be the way that God is giving you wisdom for this particular part of your life. Tommy makes this statement. He says, unless we're asking God for wisdom, we may go through all sorts of hardships and come out being none the wiser for it. And there's no wisdom in that. Okay? So again, going to the source of wisdom, godly wisdom, and that is God Himself. Next week I won't be here. Ray is going to be teaching class, and I'm not sure what you're going to teach on, but it will be wise, I'm sure. Okay, going to be in Daniel next week, okay? The following week when I come back, we're going to be continuing this part of our study, and I want to encourage you to look at the next couple of verses there, 6, 7, and 8, and we're going to be talking about God is willing to give us this wisdom for the asking on one condition. Okay? So we're going to be talking about what that one condition is. All right? Thank you all very much.